Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would love to hear from you. The lines are wide open, and we invite your calls now to 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question or something you would like to discuss with us, why, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're in a political season, a political cycle.
Are we ever?
Yes, indeed, one filled with debates. We saw the third and final debate between the two candidates last night, and just made me start to think about a debate that first happened in the church, some years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It was a debate that took place in Jerusalem. They hosted that first Christian debate, and it was a very important debate. Paul and Barnabas had been out in the Gentile world. They were delivering the good news about Jesus, and they were saying to Gentiles that you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. Now, in chapter 15, it says certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers. Now, Antioch was the place where believers were first called Christians. Mm-hmm. It's the place that Paul, it was his home base. So they were the sending church, basically. They had tapped Paul on the shoulder and Barnabas on the shoulder, and they sent them out to carry the good news to Gentiles all around the world. And so after that first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas came back to Antioch. Now, certain people came down from Judea. It's kind of interesting. They were actually going north, but they came down because Jerusalem and Judea is at an elevation that is higher than the rest of that region. So they came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching believers this: unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. So there's the issue. So, in our debates here in our political, we have a conservative platform, a Republican platform, and we have a Democratic platform or a liberal platform. And the different issues are debated about what each stands for. Well, here we have, God's platform as far as how people are really saved, and then you have the people's platform, what folks have come up with their own understanding. And so they said, unless you're circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved. This brought Paul and Barnabas into sharp dispute and debate with them. So a debate ensues. And Paul and Barnabas are not going to give in, and neither are these folks from Judea. They're not going to give in either. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. So they're going to take it to a higher level, and they're going to go to the elders in Jerusalem. And so the church sent them on their way, and as they traveled, they told how the Gentiles had been converted, and this news made all the believers very glad. And when they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. So they gave a great praise report, and within that praise report, they were saying, this is how all of this has been accomplished. It's not through the works of the law. It's not through the customs taught by Moses. It has been by grace through faith in Jesus. So then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. Now that was the debate. The Gentiles, Paul would say, no, they're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. They're to live in exactly the same way, by grace through faith in Jesus. And these believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees said, oh, no, no, no. They had some musts and some requirements. They must be circumcised, and they must be required to keep the law of Moses. So the apostles and elders met to consider this question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. So Peter was the one who was sent originally to the Gentiles. It took place in Caesarea by the sea, in the home of Cornelius, the Roman centurion. All of his household heard the good news of Jesus, and the gift of God's Spirit was given to them in exactly the same way. I mean, exactly the same way it was given to the Jews on the day of Pentecost. Yes. And Peter witnessed that. And so he says, God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. So what was their acceptance based upon? Was it based upon their works? Was it based upon their human effort? Absolutely not. And the same was true of the Jew. God showed his acceptance of them by giving the gift of his Spirit, by making his presence known, by being present with them. That's the sign of God's favor and grace, his presence among us. So God showed them that, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear?
I mean, I love that.
Yeah.
They, now, maybe they'll get it right.
We didn't.
Yeah.
we sure didn't. I mean, that was too much for us to bear. So why are we trying to take it off our necks and put it on theirs?
Yeah.
It's just not a logical argument whatsoever. No, he says, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. Now, on that day, Peter's final word ended the argument.
No.
There was no more debate. Everybody was on the same page. It is by grace through faith in Jesus that all men are saved, whether Jew or Gentile. Unfortunately, the debate has continued. Even to this day, there are people from the party of the Pharisees who have said, you know, there are musts and there are requirements for every believer to be accepted by God. They are saying that Jesus is not enough. And many people are buying into their argument. And after a while, they're becoming frustrated. They're becoming irritated. They're losing hope. They're becoming weary. And all of those things. Why? Because they've given in to the wrong argument. They are on the wrong side of the debate. If that's you, it's time to get on the right side of the debate. The words of Peter and Paul and Barnabas. Let those words settle the argument in your life, and I guarantee you, you will again experience the joy of your salvation.
Yeah. Well, it's Basic Gospel, everybody. We have open lines, 844-322-2742. That's good. In the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And if you're hearing this program live, of course, 3 o'clock Central Time daily, you're hearing this live broadcast, and you have the option, the opportunity, the privilege of calling in and posing a question live right now, 844-322-2742. And, you know, basically, for those of you who are hearing a delayed broadcast, it's now easier than ever to get an answer to your question from the guys here at Basic Gospel. And if you're hearing this program any time other than 3 o'clock Central Time, Monday through Friday, you are hearing a delayed broadcast. So no matter what time of day, night, weekend, you hear Basic Gospel on the radio, you can get your question to us by visiting basicgospel.net/ask. And at that site, just record or write your question, and then listen for it on a coming edition of Basic Gospel. Again, that's to be found at basicgospel.net/ask. And Bob and Richard, just kind of tying into what you were saying about the coming of the Holy Spirit, I had a question from Jay concerning verses Acts chapter 8, verses 11 through 17. He says, those address the preaching and baptizing by Philip, and then the need to have Peter and John lay their hands on the people in order for them to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, here's a three-part question. Question one, why didn't Philip pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit? Why didn't he pray for them to receive the Holy Spirit? And question two, why was the laying on of hands required in order for them to receive the Holy Spirit? And then finally, question three, why was the laying on of hands required then and not now today?
Well, I think that's a kind of a wrong way to put that. It wasn't required. It's just what Peter and John did.
They did.
It's just what they did. So we look at that and say, oh, it was a requirement. Well, that word is not in that passage. It just simply says that Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting. This is all part of what we were just talking about as far as this Jerusalem Council was concerned. And we're going to have to go back to really explain this to a scene that took place at Caesarea Philippi in the northern part of Israel. Jesus had taken his disciples there. At about this time in his earthly ministry, there was quite a buzz happening around his miracles. And people were wondering, who in the world is this Jesus of Nazareth? Some were saying he was Elijah. Some were saying he was one of the other prophets. And so he took his disciples up to this place and he asked them point blank, well, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter stood and he made the declaration, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was the confession. And that's the confession that we all make concerning Jesus. But it's a confession that we make only after the Spirit of God has revealed it to us.
Yes.
That's what happened with Peter. The Father had revealed that truth to Peter, and he stood and made that confession that you, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, Jesus responded to him and said, you know, you, Peter, are a rock, and upon this rock, the confession that you've made, I'm going to build my church. And he says, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. And so Peter was the one in the book of Acts that with that key that Jesus had given him had unlocked the gospel message and the giving of the Holy Spirit to the Jews first on the day of Pentecost. Here in chapter 8, this gospel message was going to the Samaritans. Mm-hmm. And Peter and John had to be there to witness God giving the Holy Spirit to the Samaritans. And then in chapter 10, Peter had to be there to be a witness to God giving the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles.
Yes.
So Peter was right there, a front row seat, watching what God was going to do. And that was what qualified him to be the final voice, the final decision maker at the council at Jerusalem. He had witnessed the saving grace to Jew, Samaritan, and Gentile. And so he was able to say that God shows no partiality, no favoritism. He saves all in exactly the same way, and he gives all the same gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Philip told them a message, but Peter was the one that had to be there to unlock the kingdom so that God's gift of the Spirit could come to the Samaritans. And so how that happened with the Samaritans is simply that Peter and John placed hands on them. When he went to Cornelius' house, he just was speaking.
Yeah, he didn't even finish his talk.
Yeah, he didn't even say amen or give an altar call. God just gave his Spirit.
Uh-huh.
And it's a powerful thing. So we don't need to make requirements out of this. We just simply say that's the story. That's the history. That's what they did. And God gave the gift of the Holy Spirit. But we have to realize that God is the main character. And God gave the Holy Spirit to both Jew, Samaritan, and Gentile.
Yes.
And he gave it through unique ways for each and every event.
And it's important to note that Peter, even though he was given the key to unlock this, was not the one who gave the Spirit. he was there to confirm that God, in fact, gave them the Spirit. And I'll guarantee you, Peter and John were just as shocked as everybody else.
How is
this possible? And yet it was. And then he gets to Cornelius' house and didn't get into any of the stuff, and there it happens again. Peter was the guy to whom God used to unlock to all these other people groups, but he unlocked it back to the church in Jerusalem just as much because he said, I was there, I was with John, here's what God did, how can we deny this?
Yes, indeed. And I want to make a statement to our listeners today. You know, in this political season, you know, if you're on social media, you have been just barraged by various people trying to convince you to be on the right side of the argument and to vote for the right candidate. And you've been bombarded from both sides, right?
Yes.
So they think you're neutral and you need to be swayed one way or the other. So they're bringing out the heavy guns, the heavy artillery, to move you to the right side of the argument, at least according to their perspectives. Well, that's what our ministry is doing within the church. There is a right side of the argument as far as the gospel is concerned. It is by grace through faith in Jesus. There is no other way to be saved. Man can come up with every kind of harebrained idea, and they have. And they've been coming up with these ideas, but not a single one of those ideas has ever brought salvation to a human heart. Not one of those philosophies, not one of those work-based programs have ever saved a soul. Only Jesus saves. Now, the same argument applies within the Christian life. Joy and peace and contentment and love and self-control and faithfulness are all a byproduct of faith in Jesus, a faith that is responding daily to the grace of God that has been poured out to us in Christ. That is the right side of the argument. Now, here's the sad reality. Many, many, many Christians are on the wrong side. They have been swayed by teaching, maybe their own internal fears, to say there's a must, there's a requirement that I need to bring to the table, whether it's the customs of Moses, whether it's obedience to the law, or whether it's our own brand of rules and regulation, our own flavor of legalism. Many people are on that side, and Christianity is not making sense. They're experiencing frustration. They are weary inside, and many are giving up and just saying, hey, I can't do this. And so they have no voice into the culture at large. So they need to be on the right side of the argument. That's why we ask you to support Basic Gospel, because anywhere you go, if you go to church this Sunday, you're going to find people sitting to the right of you in the pew, sitting to the left of you in the pew, who don't think Jesus is enough, mm-hmm. who will say, yes, it's grace, but we need to add this, this, and this to the mix.
I've heard it said we just need something deeper.
That's exactly right. Yeah. You can't go deeper than Jesus.
No.
So there are people to the right of you, people to the left of you, people in front of you who are on the wrong side of the argument. Will you help us deliver the good news so that people can be on the right side of the argument, can really take a stand like Peter did and say, no, it is by grace and grace alone. That is when and only when that person will experience the full benefits of knowing Christ and enjoy the full measure of his life in this world today. Mm-hmm. It is something that is worth investing in.
Yeah.
This is not a side issue. It is the issue.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent. If you're lost, you're lost. you need to be saved. There's not going to be Democrats in heaven. There's not going to be Republicans in heaven. Only people who have been born again of the Spirit of God, who have received Jesus by grace through faith. Only people here and now that are going to experience joy and contentment and true fulfillment in life are those who are living in exactly the same way. So when we ask you to give, that's what we're asking you to support. And this month we have an incredible matching gift challenge of $5,000, so your gift can go twice as far, can reach twice as many people to help move them to the right side of this by grace through faith truth.
Yeah.
So please go to our website, basicgospel.net, give generously. There is no greater investment. And when you give, you are actually saying, my heart has been aligned to the good news of Jesus. And you are giving because God has put your heart there. And take comfort in that. Take joy in what God is doing in your life. It is so important that this message get out there, especially now. So give generously, do so today. People are out there dying on the vine who need truth. Help deliver that truth to them and get them on the right side of this good news of Jesus Christ.
Very interesting you said that, because I was just about to share an observation from June, who listens on KDIE San Francisco. She says, if every person who cannot contribute regularly but yet has a heart to assist the ministry were to give a one-time yearly gift of $12, we can't even imagine the difference it would make, especially given that all of the listeners that you have on the internet, on Facebook, literally around the country and around the world. And I couldn't agree more. So donate at basicgospel.net. We're just about out of time, my friend, but I want to pose one more question here. This is from our friend. Well, that's too long a question. let's see here. This is from Kurt, who lives in El Dorado Hills, California. Said, I believe I'm hearing truth being taught and shared every time I listen to your program. It is my desire to experience the fruit of the Spirit in my walk with Jesus. I'm just not sure how. I'm struggling with how to relate to the Holy Spirit. I'm also struggling with how to walk in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit, and do I talk to the Holy Spirit the same way I talk to the Father and to Jesus?
Well, that's a good question, and really that is the question of the day. How is this Christian life really supposed to work?
Yeah.
And that's exactly what our friend is asking there. How is this Christian life really supposed to work? I know I've been saved by grace through faith in Jesus. I know that God has given His Spirit, that His Spirit is permanently indwelling me. I know that, but now what are the practical living out of that? What does it look like? And it's by faith. Now, many substitute rules and regulations for faith. If you will follow these rules, follow these regulations, that means you're trusting Jesus. That's not what that means at all. No. Trusting Jesus is an attitude of the heart, and it is a reliance, a dependence. It's recognizing that He is your life, He is the source of your life, and you simply, as a branch, abide in Him and allow His life to be lived through you. That's when you're going to bear the fruit of His Spirit.
Absolutely. Friends, I remind you again that if you're hearing this program any time other than 3 o'clock Central Time, Monday through Friday, you're hearing a delayed broadcast. Now, we know many of you can't join us during the live broadcast, so we've made it easier than ever to get an answer to your question from the guys here at Basic Gospel. No matter what time you call, 24/7, you can get your question answered by visiting basicgospel.net/ask. Now, at that site, just record or write your question, and then listen for it and hear your answer soon on Basic Gospel. Again, you can voice it or write it at 24/7 at basicgospel.net/ask. Program note, join us tomorrow for our Friday study edition of Basic Gospel, from which we'll be streaming live video to Facebook from the studio. That's at 3 p.m. Central Time tomorrow from facebook.com/basicgospel, in addition, of course, to our regular broadcast stations. Well, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Now, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us for that study edition tomorrow at this time. See you then. Bye-bye.